The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine once again, everybody, 7:30 a.m. And welcome now to the Feast of the Epiphany, by far the best known and the best loved of all of our Christmas feasts. The Epiphany, a story shrouded in mystery. A journey across the desert to find the Christ child. And it captures our imagination. And I think this is why this feast is so greatly loved. We know that every authentic encounter with the divine is always going to be mysterious. And this one's definitely mysterious. These magi coming from afar, traveling across the desert sands by starlight, following the star of Bethlehem, and bringing with them these three mysterious gifts: gold and frankincense and myrrh, best loved and by far the best known, okay? But here's what I want to focus on here this morning, something that is not so well known, and it's this last line of the scriptures that you just heard me read. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. All right. Every encounter with Jesus Christ leads to a definitive change. See, to me, that's the most important lesson of the Feast of the Epiphany. They departed for their country by another way. Don't think of that as a change in direction. Think of that as a change in heart. Nobody meets Jesus Christ and walks away the same. That's the lesson for today. Now, you all know about the prophecies of the Messiah, right? That's no secret to you. You know that the Messiah was long prophesied and he was going to be the descendant of the line of King David, the long promised one, and that he was going to deliver the people from their sins. But did you know that the Jewish people believed in another great promise about the Messiah? They believed that the Messiah would lead all the nations of the world to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had sworn it. The prophets proclaimed it. Prophet Isaiah: "Nations shall walk by your light, kings by your shining radiance. They shall come from afar, proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The Psalms. His rule will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. All kings shall pay him homage. All nations shall serve him. And if those sound familiar, that's because that was your first reading and your psalm response for the day. That's why we read them, okay? And if you're a Jew now, if you're living in the time of Mary and Joseph, this promise that one day the world is all going to worship the God of the Hebrews, that was your greatest consolation. Because for the past 1,000 years, you've gotten nothing but misery from all the nations of the world, all those Gentile nations. 1,000 years of hardship the people of Israel suffered through. They burned your temple to the ground. They led your people away in chains and in slavery. They've raised up their foreign emblems high above the entrance to the sanctuary. They've defiled your sacred rites. They've ruled with an iron fist. And all along, you know what your consolation has been? You've been saying this to yourself. One day they're going to convert. God has promised it. One day they're going to convert. One day they're going to worship God. I seem like the most impossible dream, too. Like, if you're living in the time of Mary and Joseph, and you look around at all these Roman centurions, and, you know, you think about Augustus Caesar over in his palace in Rome, the last thing from their minds is going to be the worship of the God of Israel. Okay? But then comes Jesus Christ. And look what happens. One by one, they start to worship the God of the Hebrews. You know who the first one was? It was at the foot of the cross. Remember the story? And the soldier, the Roman soldier, right, takes his lance and jabs it into the side of Jesus, and blood and water gush out. And he looks up and he says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." You know that guy's a canonized saint? His name is Longinus. The first of the Gentiles after the death of Jesus to believe in the God of Israel. But then comes the Gentiles in Jerusalem, and then in Samaria, and then in Judea, and then in Antioch, and then in Rome. And, you know, it didn't happen overnight. But something happened with this guy, Jesus, that after he comes, you know, the whole world, and for 1,000 years, they've been doing nothing but making fun of the God of the Hebrews. They all start worshiping the God of the Hebrews. And how do you explain that? I was at World Youth Day in Germany. I'm in a crowd of 1 million people. And I look out across the vast sea of humanity, and they're waving flags from every nation in the world and speaking every language you've ever heard and a half dozen that you've never heard of. And I'm looking out all across these people and I'm thinking, the prophecy, it came true. The prophecy came true. All the nations of the world are adoring the Lord. I was in an orphanage in Rwanda. Okay, and they speak a language there called Kinyarwanda. And I don't speak a word of Kinyarwanda. But we gathered for Mass, right? Myself and all the village, they spoke their Kinyarwanda, and I spoke English, and together we're united as one people, praying to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I'm looking out across all the villagers gathered at Mass, and I'm thinking, the prophecy came true. All the nations of the world will adore the Lord. Well, the Epiphany was the first day that that prophecy came true. Okay, because who are these magi? Who are these guys? Tell you one thing for sure, they are not children of Israel. You see the magi represented, like we have right here on a little nativity set, you'll see them represented as being 3 different races. One's from Africa, one's from Asia, one's from Europe. Historically speaking, of course, that was impossible. But who cares? It shows that they're the fulfillment of the prophecy, that all the nations of the world will come to adore the Lord. And you can tell they did. Two ways you can tell. Number one, by the gifts that they bring, okay? Gold. Gold is a gift you give in tribute to your king. You want to know who's your sovereign, who rules over you? Where do you send your gold on tax day, okay? Frankincense. Frankincense is a fancy word for incense. And who do you offer incense to? You offer incense to God. And myrrh, strangest gift of all. I know I've told you this before, but myrrh was an oil that was used to anoint a dead body. Real strange gift to give to a baby. That it'd be like bringing a coffin to a baby shower. Really strange. And you know what those gifts, they show that these magi know exactly who this Jesus is. He's the promised Messiah of Israel, who would be king and Lord and would offer himself in sacrifice for his people. That's the first way you know. Here's the second way you know. It's this word here, prostrated. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Now, the word Matthew uses is proskuneo. For prostrate. You know what's interesting about that word, proskuneo? You remember the story of Jesus being tempted in the desert? And the devil leads Jesus out into the desert and he tempts Jesus in the desert. And one of the temptations is he says, all the nations of the world I will give to you if only you worship me. The word that he uses for worship right there, same word, proskuneo. These magi worship the Lord as God. Prophecy becomes true. They walk away changed. All the nations of the world walk away changed. Your message for this day is you and I, we need to walk away changed too, okay? Now, you're already changed because of the Lord, aren't you? You didn't show up at St. Jude at 7:30 in the morning just for the giggles of it, right? You've already been changed. But here's one of the most important things that I want to share with you as your pastor. You haven't been changed anything like near as much as God wants you to. His call and his love are infinite. And the closer you get to him, the greater a blessing you become to everyone else in this world, right? Now, how are we going to get closer to the Lord? I think you can learn a lot by looking at these three gifts. So let's think about this for just a second, all right? You want to draw closer to the Lord. Bring the Lord your gold. Now, what does gold symbolize? It's rare. It's precious. It symbolizes those things in life which you would otherwise most jealously and selfishly keep all for yourself, right? Your time and your money. If you're stingy with those, you haven't been changed yet. The Feast of the Epiphany challenges us to turn that around. To take the things you would most jealously want to keep and to pour them out. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, everything that I have is yours. Do of it whatever you will. When you let Jesus get that close to you, that's when you walk away changed. Take frankincense. Frankincense, incense, it symbolizes worship. You know what the word worship means? Worship is just a portmanteau of the words worth and ship. It's a portmanteau. Put them together. It's what you worth the most in life. That's what you worship. And sometimes you'll find these atheists and they'll say, oh, no, I don't worship God. Everybody worships something. Because there's something in your life right now, for every last something in your life that comes in first. Sadly, for many people, it's themselves, right? But whatever in your life is first, that's what you worship. God doesn't take second place. If God's not first, you don't worship God. And you know what you do when you place God first? You follow his commandments as taught by the church. You pray on a regular basis. You seek out his forgiveness. You receive the sacraments. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, all that I am is yours. Do with me what you will. You do that. You let the Lord draw that close to you. You walk away changed. And here's the third one. It's myrrh. And I think this is the hardest one of all. You know how you offer your myrrh to the Lord, so to speak? Well, myrrh was a prefiguring of the suffering of Jesus on the cross. The Lord wants the trust of your heart through the sufferings and tragedies of your life. And here's how you do it. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I still believe in you. Suffering, tragedy, hardship, death comes into your life. You say, Lord, I do not understand and I do not like this, but I still believe in you. If you can trust the Lord through the darkest valleys, you let the Lord get that close, you walk away changed. And I don't care who you are. I could be speaking to a congregation of canonized saints this morning, right? Every last one of us is a beginner in the spiritual life because the call of God is infinite. And you know what it looks like when the Lord changes you? Let me just real briefly just tell you. It doesn't mean you're going to walk away changed right now. I mean, some people do, but for the most part, you should be able to look back across 1 year of your life and you should be able to see the difference that the Lord has made. You're going to be able to say that I'm more patient than I used to be. I'm more generous than I used to be. I'm kinder than I used to be. Those sins that used to dog me so badly, they don't dog me so bad anymore. The Lord is slowly changing you because you let him draw near. I said on Christmas Day, if you heard me on Christmas Day, your gift to the Lord is your heart. And in return, his gift to us is his presence. This Christmas season and all throughout the world, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.